In his new book, This Far by Faith, Juan Williams asks, why did so many African Americans who, by any ordinary measure, might have thought that God had abandoned them in slavery and beyond, hold so fiercely to faith and make religion an instrument for striking justice? In many ways, the modern civil rights movement grew out of organized religion. African Americans who turned to faith, not only as a balm for the crimes of slavery and Jim Crow, but to embolden them in the march toward freedom. Juan Williams, of course, he is our colleague, author of Eyes on the Prize. He has also co-authored This Far by Faith with Quentin Dixie, who's a professor of religious studies at Indiana University. Juan Williams joins us from our studios in Chicago. Juan, thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure. It's an honor, Scott.
And let me ask you if I could to address the question you raised really in the first few paragraphs of the book. How did the faith of the oppressor become transformed by African Americans into something else?
You know, it's such a key story because I think that at its base, this is the moment at which you see the power of faith. You know, African Americans coming to these shores as slaves and coming with a variety of tribal religious practices from the African continent. When they come here, they're told in order to be civilized, literally, they have to become Christians. And as Christians, they must be therefore subservient, accepting of their role, their status in life, and their reward will come in heaven. And somehow, African Americans take to this word and say, wait a minute, Christ identifies with those who are oppressed, with the least among us, those who have been shunned, and remake Christ and Christianity as liberation theology.
We wanted to talk about some of the names that perhaps are not so familiar to us in popular history, but I do want to linger a bit over Sojourner Truth. How was it that Sojourner Truth became not just a feminist when the term wasn't really widely applied and a political and social leader, but a religious leader for people of all races, really?
Here is someone who does self-emancipation, which is such a wild concept to me, Scott. Yeah. She's a slave in the Hudson Valley area of New York State in the North. She says, God has come into my life, and God has literally thrown me to the ground. She says, God, I didn't know you were so big, so powerful. And God allows her to recreate her view of herself. And when the slave master comes to argue with her, there she is calling upon the power of God and saying that she is a Christian woman and that she is not the slave anymore. And of course, the story goes on with this recreation idea because she goes to New York City and she is reborn as not Isabella the slave, but as Sojourner Truth, the feminist, the abolitionist, the reformer on the streets of New York City at the time that was filled with corruption. And then takes her message nationwide.
You write about a man named Howard Thurman, whose name is sometimes lost in the mists of history. But even before Dr. King, Howard Thurman made the link between Gandhi's nonviolent resistance movement in India and the possibility of an effective nonviolent resistance movement in the United States.
Thurman, who was the chaplain at Howard University in Washington, D.C., takes a trip to visit Gandhi. And when he comes to visit Gandhi, this is such an amazing story, Scott.
Yeah.
He is disappointed in Gandhi because Gandhi is this emaciated small guy and not in the keeping with the Baptist preacher tradition of chest stuck out demanding attention by his very presence as he walks into the room. But he hands Thurman bits of cotton, woven cotton, and says, this cotton will be the basis of our independence from Britain. And then he adds, and I know that black hands in America picked cotton and got the American economy to grow on the basis of slave labor. And now Thurman is thinking, oh my gosh, this guy is very smart. This gift is very much an intentional gift meant to suggest a tie between Indians and African Americans. And then, picking up on this, Gandhi continues and presses Thurman and says, but how can your Christianity be about liberating black people if it is the religion of the slave master? Mm-hmm. And begins to challenge Thurman in a way that creates tremendous discomfort. And he returns home with a new sense of the possibilities of Christianity if it is wed to Gandhi's practice of civilian nonviolent protest, and sees them now as necessarily linked, and begins to speak at places, YMCAs and schools around the country, including Morehouse, where he speaks to a student named Martin Luther King Jr.
For many Americans, the identification of the church with social justice begins with the American Civil Rights Movement and Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King, Emmett Gumery. But Juan, as you note, there are a great many names, perhaps millions of names, that are just not remembered in this time.
Well, it's so true. And remember that the black church really was a font of leadership because it was the lone institution where black people could nurture, could stand as leaders, in part because whites did not have any kind of access to economic retribution against leaders in the black church. The people in the black church had their own economic base because they were supported by a black constituency, the black congregation. So you see that in the political struggles, in the abolitionist struggles, Reconstruction era, time and again, it's the black church that stands as the source of leadership. And let me read you this paragraph, if you will, Scott. Why did so many people, including children, walk tall in the face of death threats, snarling dogs, and racist attacks? One key to black Americans' willingness to sacrifice is that every Sunday the gospel told them that God would not desert them in their time of trial if they had the courage to walk with Christ. And as the civil rights movement grew in power, ordinary African Americans, who were filled with the promise of redemption from Christian suffering, found themselves willing to make tremendous sacrifices.
Juan, thank you very much.
Scott, it's been my pleasure.
Juan Williams, our colleague here at National Public Radio, who is the co-author, along with Quentin Dixie, of This Far by Faith, Stories from the African American Religious Experience. And you're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.